This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for the day, but of course we do have one story to get through before we do that. Blockchain could be the key to Africa's renewable energy plans. We'll come to that in a minute, but let's have some of the responses that we've had during the break.
Yeah, so...
Keeping on your toes, Arvind.
So this comes from Inequalities at Equal or Not at on Twitter, and he says that when we've already seen millions worth of jewelry, watches, yachts, cars, and bungalows being paraded around, does he really think we'd be that naive to think cashless equals less corruption? That's not the root of the problem. The system and its safeguards are.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And then one comes from at PP Lim, who says, I think it may lower the chances of corruption as it provides an audit trail to all transactions. May not be so for cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple on WhatsApp. Z says, cashless is good for the country as the government does not have to spend money to print banknotes. Malaysia should consolidate e-wallet apps to just two or three. Right now, I have at least six e-wallet apps on my phone, and China only has two.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And one final message from numbers 7760, who says, I think Malaysians are still very conservative and skeptical on cashlessness for business, and the support for business, the support from government is not strong yet. I think cashless we'll have less corruption only if the government is the one handling the cashless payments company themselves. If not, cashless will help and enlarge corruption easier and seamless.
I don't think it's just Malaysians who are a bit skeptical about it. The Brits are as well. I know for a fact my mother is. You know, unless she can see money in her hand or underneath her mattress, that money doesn't exist. That's the kind of thinking, though. You know, for a lot of people, they want to be able to see it. They want it to be tangible. They want to put their card in and withdraw money.
That's the older generation.
It's the older generation, and I completely understand that. I find myself on the cusp of these two things,
straddled between the two.
You know, I love the idea of going cashless, but I also cannot go out without having some cash in my wallet. It would drive me insane.
We should do a story one day of me just, or of any of us just going out and
trying to do it entirely cashless. Oh, that's an idea. There you go.
It is an idea.
All right, let's write that
down.
And
if we get stuck, one of you will be getting a call.
Okay, time to move on. Arvind's other story of the day. How blockchain could be the key to Africa's renewable energy plans.
Yeah, so I picked the story because we haven't spoken about blockchain for a while.
Right.
I think we did it a lot at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, and then it just disappeared.
Yes.
So now these small companies are coming up and using blockchain the right way, not just calling themselves blockchain this and blockchain that. Particularly in Africa, the demand for electricity exceeds supply. In Nigeria alone, there's a shortage of about 170,000 megawatts. So it's given way to all these very noisy, not eco-friendly power grids that are
generators and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So they say that in rural areas in Rwanda, where over 70% of the population lives, only 18% of the population has access to electricity. Urban dwellers and medium-sized enterprises linked to the grid still cannot be certain of having electricity all day, and the government of Rwanda has set a target to achieve successful electrification by 2024. So what they're doing is, because they don't have electricity the traditional way, they're trying to go for renewable energy. They have goals set and stuff, but the only problem with them is they don't know how to supply the renewable energy to the houses. And they need a way to make sure that they can account for each home and how much electricity is being used by each home. Before this, there was no technology to do that. But with blockchain, they say that they can count to the point, to like the decimal point of exactly how much every home is using. And if there's an extra, there's electricity that's not being used, then they can supply that electricity to other homes who don't have it.
Can we sell this idea to TNB as well? Because my electricity bill recently has been horrendous.
Spiked?
Yes.
Yeah. So they say that the most easiest and the most affordable way to get electricity to rural communities in Africa is with a decentralized energy source, such as solar PV and wind energy. And the only way to count that is with blockchain. So with the emergence of blockchain, it is possible to establish an auditable encrypted ledger that can record energy consumption, credit histories, as well as provide energy trading between households, giving consumers more control of the energy requirements and consumption. So, for example, there's a nonprofit called Energy Web Foundation, or EWF. They started developing an open source scalable blockchain platform with the aim of creating a market standard for the energy industry to build upon and run their own blockchain based solutions.
So, to break it down into its simplest terms,
yes,
it is essentially both a meter and a supplier of power. If you were to use this kind of software, because it would be able to tell exactly how much you've been using, and therefore you would get your accurate bill, and then depending on it would just be able to adjust things very quickly rather than I'm stumbling. Help me out, Arv. Come on.
It's a marketplace.
Yeah, right.
So it's basically a marketplace. It's like it's as easy as going on like Amazon or Lazada or something, knowing how much energy is in storage and then buying that amount of energy.
Right.
And then everyone will know there's a trail of how much you've used, how much you've not used, if you're consuming more than you should. And when there's excess, then it just goes to people who need it the most.
Who need it the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's no system before this. There's no system before this because there's just no way to calculate how much everyone uses.
Is it oversimplifying it by saying it's like a top-up system?
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like
It can be a top-up system. So they can, it can be a prepaid system where they pay for it beforehand and then use the energy. Or if they don't want to do that, they can just see how much of energy is left and then like basically buy it after that and then use it if they need it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gents, it's pretty much time for us to wrap up for the day. Thank you very much for all of your texts, your tweets, and your messages on InstaStory. It's kind of been fairly obvious that a lot of people like the idea of going cashless, but just a bit worried about some of the stumbling blocks we might come across. But there's also this kind of skepticism about corruption being eliminated by going cashless. Would that be about accurate, would you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll help reduce it,
yeah.
But, you know,
not eliminate.
People are people.
Indeed. So that was the story we went with, how the creation of a cashless society will stamp out corruption. That was according to the Prime Minister this weekend.
Then we spoke about how Google's parent company, Alphabet, wants to kill all mosquitoes.
And the story is, want to be a good leader, learn to follow first.
And then we finished with how blockchain could be the key to Africa's renewable energy plans.
And if you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. It'll be available on our website or via the apps, or if you'd like to, you can also listen to it on Spotify a little bit later on. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Chandra Nair, the author and CEO of the Global Institute for Tomorrow. He is a sought-after speaker on the international circuit, but curiously commands little recognition in his home country of Malaysia. The Breakfast Grill got acquainted with Chandran and tapped into his insights on good governance, sustainable development, and environmental conservation. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu and Arvind Yuvaraj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.